Blog Talk Radio.
We're back on the air, and I'm we're back on the air. Albert's on hold. I'm going to cut the song off because I'm going to play a clip. There actually was evidence. Thank you for calling back in, Albert. I have you on hold for 30 seconds. There actually was concrete evidence that Russia did hack into our campaign, both the Trump campaign. Well, actually what the Russians did is they were called APT 28 and APT 29. They were an affiliate of, you'll hear the testimony, it'll describe it, but they're the ones who hacked into John Podesta's email, so I'm going to play it.
To help Donald Trump and harm Hillary Clinton. And so the question is, why? What was happening in July, August of last year? And were U.S. persons involved? Here are some of the matters drawn from public sources alone, since that is all we can discuss in this setting, that concern us and we believe should concern all Americans. In July, Carter Page, someone candidate Trump identified as one of his national security advisors, travels to Moscow on a trip approved by the Trump campaign. While in Moscow, he gives a speech critical of the United States and other Western countries for what he believes is a hypocritical focus on democratization and efforts to fight corruption. To Christopher Steele, a former British intelligence officer, who is reportedly held in high regard by U.S. intelligence, Russian sources tell him that Page has also had a secret meeting with Igor Sechin, CEO of the Russian gas giant Rosneft. Sechin is reported to be a former KGB agent and close friend of Putin's. According to Steele's Russian sources, Page is offered brokerage fees by Sechin on a deal involving a 19% share of the company. According to Reuters, the sale of a 19.5% share of Rosneft later takes place, with unknown purchasers and unknown brokerage fees. Also, according to Steele's Russian sources, the campaign is offered documents damaging to Hillary Clinton, which the Russians would publish through an outlet that gives them deniability, like WikiLeaks. The hacked documents would be in exchange for a Trump administration policy that de-emphasizes Russia's invasion of Ukraine and instead focuses on criticizing NATO countries for not paying their fair share. Policies which, even as recently as the president's meeting last week with Angela Merkel, have now presciently come to pass. In the middle of July, Paul Manafort, payroll of pro-Russian Ukrainian interests, attends the Republican Party convention. Carter Page, back from Moscow, also attends the convention. According to Steele, it was Manafort who chose Page to serve as a go-between for the Trump campaign and Russian interests. Ambassador Kislyak, who presides over a Russian embassy in which diplomatic personnel would later be expelled as likely spies, also attends the Republican Party convention and meets with Carter Page and additional Trump advisors J.D. Gordon and Waleed Faris. It was J.D. Gordon who approved Page's trip to Moscow. Ambassador Kislyak also meets with Trump National Security Campaign Chair, and now Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Sessions would later deny meeting with Russian officials during his Senate confirmation hearing. Just prior to the convention, the Republican Party platform is changed, removing a section that supports the provision of lethal defensive weapons to Ukraine, an action that was contrary to Russian interests. Manafort categorically denies involvement by the Trump campaign in altering the platform. But the Republican delegate who offered the language in support of providing defensive weapons to Ukraine states that it was removed at the insistence of the Trump campaign. Later, J.D. Gordon admits opposing the inclusion of the provision at the time.
I'm going to stop it. I was just telling you guys that there is proof that there was the Trump campaign was involved with the Russians in even shaping foreign policy for trading favors. the Russians wanted Trump to de-emphasize his invasion and control over the Ukraine. They wanted him to criticize NATO for not carrying their fair share in democratization and being the European area. As you heard, Jeff Sessions met with Kislyak, a Russian ambassador who had ties to J.D. Gordon and Walid Barrett. Carter Page, one of Trump's aides, flew over to Russia earlier last summer and made some arrangements. And as we discussed in another show, Michael Flynn was paid by RT News for some of his speeches. Also, Roger Stone, another conservative consultant to Trump, predicted that John Podesta's emails would all be released over a course of time, and they were. So it's obvious there was inside information. Albert and Ben, you're on the line.
Yeah, I mean, well, what about Assad, you know, over there in Syria? You know, Donald Trump really pull back any forces over there, or they start, you know? I think didn't he increase the bombing, some bombing on some of the Assad regime?
All Trump did was that huge missile bombing on the airport runway. But Trump obviously has to be aware of how much involvement Russia has with their hardware and their strategy in Syria.
Russia supports Assad, and the United States disapproves of Assad, you know, in Syria.
Of course.
And I think the opinion is still the same, and I think even with Donald Trump is still the same. So I don't think Donald Trump is anywhere close to being on Russia's ally, you know. I mean, if he was really a Russian ally, then he would have really – you know, took away the forces and stopped, you know, would stop bothering Assad.
Let Syria be the only litmus test, because what we're trying to figure out here overall is, did Trump just use the Russians to make Hillary Clinton look bad, or does he have actual corrupt business ties with Russia, or do they have something on him? We don't know.
Well, no, he didn't need to use the Russians to make Hillary look bad. Hillary Blatt wasn't just looking bad in RT News. She was looking bad in all independent media stations, you know.
But she was still ahead in the polls until August. And whoever this they called them a OPT-28 and 29. They were Russian infiltrators who hacked the DNC. They were obviously looking for more dirt.
Well,
so it wasn't open and
shut.
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, let me just quick comment on that. Here's the thing. During the election, the whole mainstream media was talking bad about Donald Trump and hardly about Hillary Clinton. So basically the independent media stations thought they took up the slack and talked bad about Hillary Clinton, and that's kind of where it went.
Well, first of all, you guys, I don't know if John's going to call back in because he had a busy night and he was trying to upload some of his music on his only day off. But let's say, Ben, we only have 30 minutes left of the show. So, Ben, what's your take on that audio clip I just played of the congressional hearing?
Well, so as far as Russian collusion and looking bad and using information to influence, whether it was outside or inside, Hillary looked bad on her own. There's a majority, I think, of people that know how corrupt she really is. And, you know, just because the poll says she's
well,
ahead,
I think that's a lame argument, Ben, because I just got done saying that. It wasn't enough. All the dirt on Hillary wasn't enough. She was still winning.
Well, according to the polls, which the polls were completely wrong. And we found out how wrong they were when the election happened. And if you look at, I noticed that all the major talking heads would quote all these big name polls, but then if you actually go to the website and look at the poll, it was like 1,100 people that they asked, and they weren't really clear on their information.
First of all, what direction are we going in? Are we trying to prove that Trump enlisted the aid of Russian hackers? He even said himself after the WikiLeaks of John Podesta, go over there and open another batch of emails and something like I'll pay you to do it.
Right. Well, what I'm trying to say is that if it's found out that Trump had collusion with Russia, I think the investigation should be finished with Hillary, because they just opened it and it just kind of faded away. Because that would
nobody
mean
cares
voters,
about Hillary anymore.
I know, but what my point is that if it's found out that she had collusion from outside countries and Trump had collusion with outside countries, then the American voters had no choice. Either way, they were getting influenced, whether they voted blue or red. It was going to be influenced by outside countries. So how is this impeachable when the other option was just the same thing except different?
Well, if you go back and look at some of Donald Trump's speeches, he was really hateful towards Hillary. Like, he brought out his worst verbal weaponry as far as saying enlisting his whole audience, saying put her in prison, shackle her up. I mean, I just think that on a debate level circumstance, I can see the point of your argument, but the FBI and the Congress are not going to prove which candidate is more corrupt at this point. They're just going to try to prove if Trump was involved with the Russians. Period. Hillary is she's a done deal. And by the way, John did call in, so I'm going to pull him. You guys can talk a minute. I'd like to hear what you have to say, but I really don't like the direction of this conversation when I just revealed to you key information that the FBI themselves diagnosed that APT 28 and 29, two Russian cyber organizations, are the ones that hacked John Podesta's email and diverted him to WikiLeaks.
And what was that source?
It was in Congress. It was testimony. I can play it again if you want.
Well, here's the question.
Let me just...
whether it came from Russians or from Korea or from...
Well,
Mao
Mike
Tse-tung.
Rogers was the one testifying. He's in the FBI.
Right, but
go
no
ahead, John.
No matter where the sources come from, is it the truth? And if so, where does it matter? What does it matter where it came from? Or in other words, we just want the truth. Now, here's an example. Let's just say you got a dog, right? And the dog needs to be put down for whatever reason. And I go up to the dog and go, hey, doggy, how you doing? Come over here. I'm going to give you a treat. And you put a needle in its neck and you basically kill the dog. And then you have another person who goes and they basically have dog fights. You know, they train their dog just to attack, and they're mean, and they yell at their dogs. The question is, who's better? They both are killing the dog. Hillary or Obama is killing the country with the policies they're running, but they're doing it very nicely. They speak very eloquently, but they're still signing the same deals. Trump's coming in there, and he's blaring like a siren, and you know what he's doing? He's blaring it out there. But the point is, they're both doing the same stuff. I think the problem is most people, like Jane, politically like the status quo of being proper etiquette, and they really don't care what's being done. They don't care if people, you know, a million people get aborted. It's just like, just don't say it bad. say it nicely. Don't offend anyone. And that's the kind of thing half the country goes, just tell me the truth. If you're an asshole, just tell me you're an asshole. Don't pretend you're a nice guy. So I think that's the main thing, is the semantics of how we're doing things. It offends some people, but all I want is the truth. I don't care how you present it to me.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, to think that the Russians can just hack in and Donald Trump can be allies with the Russians and hack into the presidency and win the presidency just like that. I mean, there's hundreds of other third parties who try to win the presidency. You don't think maybe they try to hack or anything? You think the Russians are just better than everybody else? You think all the other third parties, the Green Party,
Libertarian, they have the capacity to hack.
Other third parties, we're never even close for winning. They're never even close. They tried every election, and they're never close to winning.
Don't you think, Albert, that there's payouts going on? Like when I mentioned that the Trump campaign was offered these hacked documents in exchange for Trump promoting the de-emphasis of Ukrainian invasion and to openly criticize NATO. I mean, there's some kind of buyout going on that we don't even know about.
Buy out a billionaire, though. That's my question. He's already a billionaire. What are they going to give him that he can't already buy?
He's an insecure bastard. The Clintons ran a 100% clean campaign, and Trump ran a dog campaign.
Well, that's in your opinion.
Let's talk about the people that are big time trillionaires, the richest people in the world, right? Let's talk about the people who actually own the banks and run the Federal Reserves, the people that are truly in charge. Do you think the people that are
there's
truly
only one
in charge,
Federal Reserve?
Donald Trump go in there with the Russian allies and mess everything up? The people that are truly in charge, the most powerful and richest people in the world, they control the Federal Reserves because they own the banks?
Suggestion is? No matter who gets elected, they're all going to be snuffed out within 6 months. Somebody doesn't want Trump in there either.
It's true, but here's a question. I know everyone's afraid of Trump. That's fine. You know, he scares people. But when I look at North Korea, when I look at China, when I look at Russia, when I look at ISIS, I'm more afraid of a world without Donald Trump, if you get my drift. These are bad people. They're going to take me out. They're going to take our country down. So the question is, do you want the nice snake oil salesman, the black Jesus, shaking hands and being groovy and cool and singing songs and still selling us out, or do you want Mr. Badass, and who is offending some people? To save my ass, I want Badass. I'm sorry. I know he offends people. I want someone to go to Kim Jong-un and take him out. I want someone who can stand up to Putin or the Chinese with their fighter jets. You know, they're building underground bunkers. They're well prepared to go nuclear with us.
John, you're making the argument too broad now.
We're talking about
Russian hackers,
not the
bully technique of Donald Trump.
I understand he wants the two of their lesser evils.
I want someone strong enough to cover my back, is all I'm saying. And the point is, whether Russians hacked it or the Koreans or whoever did it, I don't care. What was the information? Was it valid information? Was it truth? If it's the truth, then deal with it. If it's a lie, then scream and be upset. We're third parties or fourth party. You know, we're a non-powerful political people left aside in the wake. Did we get the best 20 candidates? No, we didn't. But of the two or three potential, like Bernie and Hillary and Donald, pick your poison. So we ended up with Trump. So the other option was Hillary or Bernie, right? Were there other options, valid options that could deal with all this stuff?
I think that Donald Trump and every other president is always a distraction. I mean, nobody hardly ever talks about the richest powerful people, you know, which is the, I'm trying to remember the names. It was the Rockefellers. They're the most powerful people. If they wanted so, they could intervene and literally crush Donald Trump in his election. You know, they have so much money, it's ridiculous.
So what are you? Sure. So Jane, with your implying that it's definitely the Russians that influenced our election to get Donald Trump in here. So if you're buying that story 100%, that means that you're fully admitting that all those emails in Podesta, all the evil stuff that was in there and the dirty dealings inside the campaign was truth.
No, what I'll reiterate one of John's point and then I'll go back to square one. If Bernie Sanders was president right today, he would not be colluding with Russians. He wouldn't be making dirty deals. He'd be as ethically upright as Jimmy Carter. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Whether or not Trump, let's say, persuaded, he openly said in a speech, you know, go ahead and release the WikiLeaks and one of his key aides, who is well-known, Roger Stone, knew about the John Podesta emails 2 days before it was released. So whether all this took place, and like John said, we don't know the significance of all the information, whether it was trivial or important. The fact of the matter is that I do think Donald Trump is insecure that he had to rely on other sources. He couldn't just rely on his own wits to win the presidency because he didn't do the homework. He didn't go and research every country and their background. He just did these masculine power plays. Now, aside from all that, Hillary lost. I'm willing to accept the president in the future, but I would like this Russian investigation to be clean and on the sidelines until something prominent comes up. I don't want it dominating the news all day long. If Trump is going to be capable of doing good in the world, then let him have the first 9 months. But now it's already been jaded by the media in such a way that I'm not sure what he's capable of doing anymore.
Well, that's again to my point, is it's your perception of what is true. What the media is telling you is maybe he's bad. What is the media? It's very liberal. It's biased, you know, against conservative values. And so they're not going to spin that. They don't like Donald Trump. They didn't want Donald Trump. If you listen to the press, what were his odds of winning? Zero, right? Remember all those guys? There's no chance in, you know, L.A. will freeze over before Donald Trump is president. Remember all the celebrities were saying, all the polls, all the CNN, inclusive. If you believed what they were telling you.
That's not the point. What I'm trying to get us to the bottom is there's organizations like Fox News, their sexual predator Roger Ailes just died. They still have to handle what's going to be released by Comey and his top aide.
But you didn't like the way Donald Trump does things. You don't like it, but the point is he got the job done.
Reporting. It's Albert's media, his third-party news strings that are reporting. And Fox is under the gun right now with the recent firing of what's-his-face. So I think you're kind of tilting the conversation.
Well, you don't like the way he does things, but the point is, if he gets the job done, who cares if you like the semantics of how he does things? I just want results.
Let me talk to you, okay? Who is more evil, Donald Trump or Kim Jong-un, right? That's the question.
Well, Donald Trump hasn't killed any of his relatives, as far as I know, or like his uncle or his brother. Execute him in person. So I would give the edge to Kim.
Kim's more evil. Gotcha. Has Kim Jong-un dropped any bombs on any other countries, like in the Middle East primarily? Nope. Then Donald Trump's only been a president for like how long? And how many bombs have been dropped in the Middle East since he's been president? So
that's because ISIS isn't tearing up North Korea or other places. If they were attacking Kim Jong-un, and if he had the capability, he would definitely obliterate ISIS, right? That's what we've been dealing with this 10 years.
Is ISIS our enemy in eastern Pakistan? Trump dropped the largest non-atomic bomb called the Moab in world history on a remote hotspot of ISIS. But who's to say that ISIS shouldn't control that area? Who's to say that area isn't good for extreme Muslims?
ISIS does not have the capability to attack the United States country. They can't go to United States where we're at and attack us. They don't have that capability. They have no airplanes, and their boats are really small. They would easily be crushed. They have no capability towards doing that.
Right. They only do it through rogue people who run around and shoot up, hundreds of people or shoot up, neighborhoods and things like that. That's they don't have that power. You're right. They're not that sophisticated, but they still terrorize us.
I'm not defending ISIS. What I'm saying is that even if we're American, we're powerful, we can't control ideological strongholds in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Did you know that the Taliban is still running Afghanistan and that they're still more powerful than the government there? We've made no progress since 1979. None at all with the Russians and Americans.
You're saying they can authorize people and tell them, blow up America, kill Americans. It's cool, but if we go over there and blow up some of their stuff, we're bad.
Let me put it this way. Hold on. Okay, way before ISIS, okay, we had Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was the primary enemy, and they were like super bad, right? And it was really small, and all of a sudden the terrorist organization is like growing. So the more we kill of them, the more they grow. It seems like the more bombs we increase and the more bombs we drop, the more they increase and the more terrors seem to increase. It's like we're having the opposite effect. And here's the thing:
leave them alone. They're not going to run planes into the Trade Center.
Not exactly. They would have done it anyway. No, that's not what I'm trying to get. Look at this. Every time there's a terrorist attack, right? Every time when there's a terrorist attack where a terrorist kills a bunch of civilians, boom, it gets put on the Western mainstream media like crazy. It's all over the Western mainstream media. They advertise it on the media. Like they put it all day. They run it for the whole week, so weeks and weeks on time to make sure people hear about it. And then they say, oh, yeah, ISIS takes responsibility. Somehow they got a video of ISIS saying, yes, we take responsibility. Because ISIS puts a video of themselves saying they admit it and they take responsibility. And then after that, there's a bombing in the Middle East where they claim that there's some ISIS targets right there. And, of course, which they always miss the ISIS targets and they hit civilians. And the ISIS just keeps on growing and growing. And you know what I mean? And I'm saying, who are we really attacking? It doesn't seem that way.
When did ISIS get big over the last 8 years? How long has Trump been president? Oh, what, 4 or 5 months? So you have to kind of say, what if he was in charge the last 8 years? Where would ISIS be? It takes a couple of years to get down to things. They grew under Obama, and he would never call them terrorists because they're his friends. They're his brothers.
How many bombs been dropped during Obama's running as president? During his presidency, how many bombs have we still
dropped in the region? That's incendiary to imply that Obama likes every Muslim, including violent ones. Obama dropped plenty of drones on the Yemenis and the target hotspots of the ISIS leaders and the ISIL leaders. He killed
he was very pro-Israel, right?
He killed the top three people in the The Ben, he killed the top three people in the Bin. Can you guys let me finish? He killed the top three people in the Bin Laden network, including that guy whose name started with a V.
Oh, in fact, Obama dropped 20 times more times than Bush has dropped bombs. Obama beats Bush 20 times over by how many bombs have been dropped in the Middle East. So, I mean, it's good thought Obama is better than Bush.
Well, is ISIS retreating or are they spreading? I understand they're retreating in the last couple of months.
Where you are in northern Iraq, they're retreating. The Kurds have their own army and they've suppressed a lot of key areas where ISIS had control. The place that they're gaining is in Syria, where there's no one in control.
Yeah, but look at other places in the world. It's like no matter how intense the bombing gets in the Middle East, it's like at the same time it's really intense over there, all the other countries are kind of dropping their defenses and being, anti-Islamic hate speech and pro-immigrant and refugee. And so there's places for them to go. So they're not only are their breeding numbers, their babies that survive is a higher rate than the U.S., but also their ideology is breeding and spreading, and it's going into Europe, and you'll be able to see it. Pretty soon they won't be able to hide it so well from the news.
Farouk Katani was just killed a week before the election in November 4th of last year. He was a top Al-Qaeda leader. But Fareed Zakari, what was that one guy's name that started with a Z, that famous Al-Qaeda leader? Do you guys remember?
Zarqawi.
Anyways, his name was Zawari, I think it was.
Zarqawi.
Yeah, it was in that movie Zero Dark Thirty. Obama took him out, and he also took out Bin Laden, obviously. But did you guys know that when Bush was running the Iraq War that over 250,000 Iraqis died by chemical bomb fallout, nuclear fallout, and just friendly fire? Now, that's 250,000 Iraqis versus 3,000 dead on 9/11.
Yeah, during the Iraqi war, some of the U.S. Marines didn't have bulletproof vests. And it was puzzling me because all our local police stations, every police station, and almost seems every police station in the city seems to have bulletproof vests, but our armed troops didn't have bulletproof vests, and it really just upsets me how sometimes the armed forces are not well protected, but our policemen are more overly armed than the military sometimes.
I hear you. John, I'm not defending ISIS. I'm generally against war in general.
Right. No, I hate war too. The question is can you just put your head in the sand and avoid it? Remember, Obama's mandate was get us out of Iraq. Let's leave there. Whether they're ready or not, let's just do it. Let's get out of there. And what's happened is it's destabilized. ISIS became more powerful than the government. The government is here. And so the point is, do you leave that alone or do you throw the guns down or at least arm them and give them enough support that they can fight them off? I mean, we did create this environment when we knocked out Saddam Hussein. We took out the alpha dog. Now there's a bunch of crazy dogs running around. So the question is, if we want the crazy dogs to run around wild, or do we go in there and put some law and order into it? So that is a question. That's a philosophical strategy of how you're going to live. I'm kind of live and let live, but it's a world. The problem is they're coming over here and they're messing with our culture. So do we just stand back and let it happen, or do we fight for this? Your attitude is let it go. Don't do anything and they'll go away.
Let me tell you, during Bush administration, right? When we came into Iraq and took out Saddam out of Iraq, and we left a bunch of weapons and tanks and Humvees unguarded, unprotected right there, and then we just left. And we let ISIS came over and just grabbed it, taking candy from a baby. It's like literally
right.
We gave ISIS guns and weapons and cars and tanks. Because that's how they started off mainly, by getting all that. That really got them the big boost to ISIS to start.
Right.
You know.
And the question is, now here's where it goes back to the whole philosophical thing. We say, well, why do we even care? Well, because of the oil supply. Because these people get into power, they choke the supply. What was Saddam trying to do? He was trying to take over the whole area, right? He thought he was Babylon revived. He thought he was King Nebuchadnezzar II, which is old biblical stuff. The walls, the bricks they were building around his palace, it had King Nebuchadnezzar II on it, or at least King Nebuchadnezzar. It basically is an idea of the revival of Babylon, the greatness of that empire. He thought he was it, and he thought that if he stood up against Bush, all these his Arab brothers would stand up with him and unite, and this would become the great big revival, and they didn't. But the point being is, you go, well, what if he chokes off the oil? Well, then our stuff doesn't work anymore. Our industries, our cars, our weapons, nothing works without oil. You go, why do we need oil? Because we can't drill over here. How come? Well, it will screw up our environment. So
dollar. But anybody that stands up against the petrodollar has been destroyed. I mean, look at Gaddafi. He got taken out of Libya quick as soon as he stood up against the petrodollar. So nobody against the petrodollar, you know. And the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, they control it. They're the most powerful people in the Western allies.
True, and they are very powerful, but I guess the question is, because they do influence the global landscape, but the question is, do you listen to the music that the Rothschilds choose for you? Do you cut your hair the way you want because of the Rothschilds? Do you marry the person you want because they decided for you? They may influence it,
because
I live my life on my own terms. I'm a Christian, and I listen to rock. They don't tell me what to listen to.
No, technically, because they secretly invest in a lot. In
you guys place. Give Ben a chance to talk.
Oh, just listen.
Yeah, no. Secretly, because they invested in the banks, and they own the big banks. They literally control the Federal Reserve
right.
and how much money is in currency. It's basically just like you're saying. It's completely true, but kind of is true. They do control how much music we can buy, how much clothes we can buy, and all the stuff that you said. They control how much stuff that you can buy because they control the currency and the money of the Federal Reserves because they control the banks, and the banks control the Federal Reserves. So,
right.
Yes, they are in control.
Guess who used
they,
to control Iranian
okay.
oil? Guess who used to control and suppress the citizens of Iran for their oil? Guess which country?
Who?
Britain. Britain controlled Iran for at least 20 years, and they enslaved Iranians.
And the Rothschilds, they're from Britain. The Rothschilds are from Britain, and the Rockefellers are from the United States. And they're,
Rothschilds are Jewish, correct? The Rothschilds are Jewish, correct?
Yes, I think so. I don't know.
No, I heard they were from England, you know, Britain over there and England over there.
Right. But I understand they're Jewish, British. I could be wrong, but I believe that's the whole. We should look that up, actually.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of speculation, but they're so secretive on where they invest their money and where they shoot around their money. They're literally like, if you wanted to find where they're at, you will never find where they're at. I mean, you can easily look at where Donald Trump's at and find where he's going to be at. But of course, he's well protected. But you want to look up these people, you'll never find them.
Nope.
So, not to change the subject too much, but maybe it could kind of tie back to a similar situation to Chelsea Manning, Jane. Jane said, well, you have to call her a she now. And that reminded me that Canada just passed legislation exactly saying that. It's compelled speech. You must call somebody by the gender that they tell you that they want to be referred to as. And if you don't, then you can be in trouble by law. So,
wow.
You guys hear that,
so I have to call Caitlin. Caitlin is it not a dude anymore? Like, I'm in trouble if I don't identify him that way?
In Canada, yep. The Human Rights Tribunal or Commission basically designed this entire law, and Jordan Peterson is a professor that's been kind of against this movement because he can tie it to social constructionism, and he says it's fundamentally flawed and probably damaging. There's no evidence that it's going to help people. But the way the law is written, if
you know,
we
only have 3 minutes, so try to make your point.
Okay, well, I'm just curious. If that actually, that kind of stuff can pass in Canada, I'm just concerned what's going to start happening in our liberal cities regarding this issue. Because there's like 396 genders out there. They grow every day. And I think this is just a stepping stone to a bad deal. That's it.
I'm sticking with one gender. It's worked for me for a while.
How rude.
How about you, Jane? What gender are you?
Does that matter when I'm celibate?
That's preference.
Right. Well, I can tell you what. I'm a
heterosexual woman, and that's what I've been my whole life.
Listen, I can tell you what. I'm a man that, unlike other people, if I see a woman punching a man, I'm gonna tell her, why'd you do that? That's wrong. What's wrong with you? That's bad. I'm gonna complain about it, and I'm gonna, because some men might see a woman punch a man and not say anything, but then see a man punch a woman and totally jump on it. And I'm not like that, but some people are.
Katy Perry kissed a girl and said she liked it, and it was supposed to be about Miley Cyrus, so I don't know. I guess the rules are different for the other team.
Huh. I think the name of the terrorist I was thinking of was Fareed Al-Zakari, but anyways, we have less than 30 seconds, and we've gone from Miss Universe to Caitlyn Jenner to Katy Perry.